gaining land, money, wealth, success, all at his expense. And just as our enemy hates us for every sinner that repents. Amen? When their destination is changed from hell to heaven, he gets angry and he gets envious because someone's been snatched away from his kingdom. And people would sometimes get envious with you, won't they? They might be envious of your position, envious of what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. They might be envious for a whole bunch of different reasons, but they would not be prepared to go through the challenges and the pain and the sacrifice and all of those things that you've had to go through to get there. They just want it. Amen? So he knows that when we win people for Christ, the angels are partying in heaven. They're having a great celebration. And the intensity of his anger and jealousy will burn like a furnace within him. You know, anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, the Bible says. But who can stand before jealousy? And so he adopts an obvious strategy. He knew that if he could cut off his water supplies by filling those wells, we'll move on to the next, with rocks and earth and debris, that those life-giving wells of living water would cause the land to be parched. There would be no supply, the cattle would die, and the desert would be strewn with bleached bones. He knew that there was no choice but for Isaac to move on, and that was exactly what he did. Even though Abimelech was breaking a solemn treaty that he'd made with his father Abraham, he wasn't concerned about any of those things. And look at verse 16. It says, Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." And we will always arouse hostility when we're a threat to people's godless living. You know, if you have hostility at work because of your Christianity, it's because they're feeling a bit of condemnation. You know, to some, we are the fragrance of life. To others, we are the stench of death. Listen, what was Isaac's mistake? He didn't guard the wellsprings. He didn't guard the wellsprings. He didn't put sentries, and they were taken by surprise. That is why we're told to guard the wellsprings of our hearts above all things. What is the heart? We can put up the heart now. It's cardia in the Greek, and it refers to our innermost being. It's what we are behind the smile. It's what we are behind the praise the Lord and hallelujahs and the suit or the dress that we wear. It's who we really are. It involves our emotion, our will, our minds. It's the fountain and seat of our thoughts and passions, our desires and affections. It's our personality, and it's you. It's everything that you are. It's the package, and you are ticking. Amen? It can be broken. It can be wounded. It can be bruised. Just like the heart of that Samaritan woman who'd known so much rejection, who Jesus encountered at the well. You know, she was stigmatized because of the immorality in her life. The very reason that she was walking to the well in the midday sun was because no one would go with her early in the morning. She was considered an immoral woman, and no one would have anything to do with her. She'd effectively been cut off from her community. But Jesus is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. He wasn't going to judge her. He wasn't going to condemn her. He was only going to embrace her and love her. Amen? You see, at first she didn't understand what he meant. He understood her pain. He understood all of that rejection. And he offered her something. He said, "Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become like a spring of water welling up to eternal life." He was offering her salvation. In Isaiah 12 verse 3, it says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Amen? He wanted her healed. He wanted her whole. He wanted her complete. He was healing her heart. He was giving her a new future and a hope, where his Holy Spirit could rise up in her soul and fill the deep reservoirs of her heart. He was going to give her dignity. He was restoring her self-esteem because now her identity was in him. You see, nobody has an identity crisis when they are in Christ Jesus. Amen? You are a son or daughter of the living God. You are a prince or princess in his eyes. And he wants to purify our hearts. They are so precious to him. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot achieve anything of worth. But we have an enemy who wants us to behave a little bit like Isaac, with our spiritual armor hanging loose, with our shield at our feet and our sword hanging by our side. He's waiting for us to be off guard and vulnerable, where we're not watching out for one another. You see, the enemy wants to stop up your well, your source of supply. And he's very patient, and he's very subtle. And the Bible says he even masquerades as an enemy, as an angel of light. Amen? He even masquerades as an angel of light. And one way he can do that is by getting you to have a bad attitude. Amen? In fact, he wants to give you a heart attack. You see, he will start to drop stuff into your heart. Negative thoughts. He will sow stuff into your thought life. Lies, anger, fears, worry, anxiety, bitter things. Things that you think are actually coming from you, but they're actually coming from another source altogether. But we've been taken off guard and unprepared and haven't taken time to take those thoughts captive. The Bible tells us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That means that when those negative thoughts come, we need to take them and have a good look at them and say, where did that thought come from? Did it come from me, the flesh? Did it come from the Lord Jesus Christ? Or did it actually come from the enemy? And if it's come from the enemy, we have to counteract it with the living, active word of God. Amen? He'll tell you, the enemy will tell you, you're a lousy Christian, that you're always messing up, that you're a hypocrite. He's always been an accuser, and that you'll never achieve anything worthwhile. You're a loser, you're a failure. He'll wind you up about someone else, even your pastor or your wife or your husband. And he will remind you of things that should have been forgiven a long time ago and bring them back to your remembrance. That's why husbands and wives, when we have arguments, so often we say, do you remember when you... Don't we? You never argue. I know you never argue. But you know, he will tell you so many things and try to mess you up in so many ways. And he wants to get you holding grudges and getting bitter and twisted. Listen, when your heart is getting messed up, you will know all about it. Because it starts coming out of where? Your mouth. It starts to come out on the tongue. Jesus said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, and you're not yourself anymore. You're always grumbling and complaining. You're feeling miserable. And you're getting stressed out. Have you ever experienced that? And you're saying, what's happening to me? Well, the enemy. You've let the enemy stop up your well with rubbish. It's been rubbish in and rubbish out. Rubbish in, rubbish out. Rubbish in, rubbish out. As a man thinks, so he is. There was a fountain of joy and peace. A wonderful wellspring. There was the fruit of righteousness in your life. You were great to be around. People were attracted to you. People were drawn to you. But what's happened? Not now. They're avoiding you. If that's you, have you been neglecting prayer, neglecting the word, neglecting that close intimacy that you used to enjoy with the Lord? Maybe you're so busy. Sometimes we race around at 110 miles an hour doing commendable things, don't we? And other people might even applaud us for it. And it seems to be so good and so positive and so wonderful. But actually, we've got our priorities the wrong way around. And we're not spending time at the wellspring. Ouch. We've all done it. I've done it. I admit. I'm sure if I was to ask for a show of hands, you'd be too embarrassed to put your hand up there. But you know, the enemy loves to wear out the saints, doesn't he? He just loves to wear us out. We must drink at the well and be filled continually with the Spirit. Otherwise, it's bad for our hearts. Bad attitudes are just like that cholesterol that blocks our arteries. Our arteries are being blocked. Have your arteries been blocked? And are they ineffective? Have you any blocked arteries where the blood can no longer flow vigorously around your body? And that oxygen that the blood carries to the cells, because the cells can't function without it. Those cells are beginning to suffer. You're beginning to get spiritually sick and you're beginning to die. Hey, there was a time when you were spiritually dead and You were born again. You were regenerated by the Holy Spirit and you became a new creature. The old was gone and the new had come, and you were vibrant with life because Jesus came to give us life and it's abundant life. Amen? Amen. But maybe right now something is happening to you and you're supposed to have that life to the full, but now your arteries are getting blocked by cynicism and bitterness and animosity. And there are too many Christians out there in the church that are having heart trouble. But you know what? We have a specialist as far as the human heart is concerned, and he is just waiting to fix your heart. Amen? Where Paul spoke about the devil's schemes, it was obvious that it was in connection with the need to release someone into the power of his forgiveness. One of the most effective ways the devil can stop up your wellspring and get you to shut down, move out, or move on is with unforgiveness and bitterness. If he can lodge a grudge in your heart, your prayers will be ineffective, your marriage will suffer, your spiritual life will feel like a chore. It can make you ill. It can make you sick. It's a poison chalice. Resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's like letting somebody live rent-free in your head. Martin Luther said that forgiveness is God's command. So what did Isaac do? Even Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Amen? Look at verse 17 with me, too. Verse 17 to 23. And we can change the slide. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley, and they discovered a well of fresh water there. We need to dig new wells. Amen? But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitnah. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. And he named it Rehoboth. Wow. So let's look at those wells that Isaac dug. Esek means quarrels, disputes, arguments. Sitnah, opposition, hostility, anger, resentment. Isaac had to face all of these things, but he was determined that it wouldn't lodge in his heart, and he walked away and yielded his will, and he dug another. Nothing would stop him, and better still, that night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. He's the same today with us, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Amen? Don't let fear get dropped inside of you. You have the Lion of Judah in your heart if you're in Christ, and you should be roaring at the enemy, not the other way around. Don't let fear get dropped inside of you. Use the Word of God. I was bringing this to our church last Sunday. We're looking at the whole subject of fear and how it paralyzes us and makes us ineffective. We need to use the word and say, I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. With God, I will gain the victory. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let me just say something to you right now. If you just repeated that, if you did that four times a day, if you suffer with stress or anxiety or depression, any of those issues, I would say that that is more effective than any doctor's prescription, because there is healing in the Word of God. It really can penetrate our bone and marrow and soul and spirit. And as we read it, as we confess it, it has a powerful effect in the spiritual realm, in the physical realm, on our emotions. And I really believe that before very long, it would make your heart steadfast and secure, and it would act like a stent in those arteries. Amen? you know, bringing peace, bringing healings, and those wellsprings will begin to bubble up once again. If you change your words, you can change your life. Change your words, you can change your destiny. Amen. Just check what you say as a habit of life. We can say such negative things, and it brings negative things into our lives. Anyway, let's look at what happened. Isaac knew that principle here in verse 22. From there he went up to, going back a little bit. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." And that's the Rhema word that I have for you today. I really felt that leapt down and grabbed me by the throat. I believe that God is going to do something really wonderful here. And I believe that it's God's desire for you. And he's given you so much room that the promise that we find in Isaiah 54 will be yours. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Amen. But the essential condition is being a wellspring of God's love and power and influence in the community. But we need to constantly check our hearts. Guard them. Because our hearts overflow into our actions, in the things that we do, but also into the things that we say. And if there is any unforgiveness, the wellspring will fail. James says in James 3, and he's speaking specifically about the words that we speak, because the power of death and life is in the tongue. He asked the question, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? It's crazy, isn't it? Our hearts need to be consistent, and our attitude needs to be that of Christ. Can we just turn to that slide? We go to the next one. That's it. And I think it'd be good. I don't know if you can see the words there. Can anyone see the words up there? Let's read them together. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Sometimes the wells of our hearts have been stopped because of failures, because of wounds, because of past hurts, because of abuse. And we are afraid of unstopping them because it will make us vulnerable. But unless we're prepared to jettison pride and be vulnerable and expose ourselves, we'll never be able to bless others. Amen? Let's clear out the debris. Let's clear out the mess. Anything that stinks. I went out to our back garden a few weeks ago and there was a stench. And I checked. Oh, it's okay. But our pond, our pond pump had actually blocked. And it's a fairly new pond, but it was blocked, and I was aware that probably there was a lot of debris at the bottom of that pond. And as I got my net and started to fish it out, oh, I could see where that stench was coming from. And there was a lot of dead things amongst it, even sort of decomposing frogs and all kinds of weird things. But I tell you, in our hearts, there should be nothing that's dead. Amen? Because we have his resurrection power inside of us. So if there is any deadness in your life, deadness in your marriage, deadness in your relationships, deadness in any area of your life, it can be resurrected through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we need those wellsprings to start getting pure again. Look at this chapter again. Something amazing happens. Verse 25. It says, Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked him, "Why have you come to me since you were hostile to me and sent me away?" They answered, "We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you." Isn't it amazing? It says in Proverbs 16, verse 7, that when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he even makes his enemies live in peace with him. This is what was happening. He says, let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did not molest you, but always treated you well and sent you away in peace. And now you are blessed by the Lord. Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. And early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. How could Isaac forgive him and make himself vulnerable again? It seems crazy, doesn't it? But he does. You see, forgiveness was key. And if it was key for him, it's key for us. Because out of his act of forgiveness and because of his magnanimous heart comes the discovery of the best well of all, Beersheba. And Beersheba means well of seven. It's the number of perfection. And seven was sacred to the ancient Hebrew people, symbolizing perfection, fullness, abundance, rest and completion. Now, as I was praying for you, I was thinking you've had six difficult years. Things have been turning around. And you now have a great guy leading the church. And you can pay me later. 6 difficult years. They've been challenging in many, many ways. I mean, but I prophesy that next year, the 7th year, there's going to be a well of 7. Amen? Where God is going to bless Wellspring super abundantly, and you're going to come into all the fullness of his promises, and you will be able to say, just like Isaac at Rehoboth, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. Amen? But for that wellspring to flow, the wellsprings of your heart have to run free. We have to allow God to scan our hearts and show us those things that are blocking or stopping the flow. We need to repent of those things. If they're lodged there, we need to cover them with the blood of Christ. And we need, by an act of the will, to make the decision that we won't let it rob us or rob the church of our potential, our health, our happiness, one moment longer. Don't allow the enemy a foothold. The Greek word topos means legal rights. It means territory. You know, and a lot of people here might say, well, I've got nothing significant lodged in my heart. The only things that are there are very small, very tiny. I heard a wonderful story. And this is a story about Manhattan in New York, where they were having tremendous problems with the water system and the sewage system. And there's hundreds and hundreds of miles of piping. And so they sent down 2 technicians. And these technicians went down into these pipes and they came out terrified. The place was full of alligators. They'd been breeding down there in the hot, humid atmosphere and thriving and really doing well. And what had happened is that people had bought these cute little alligators when they'd hatched out of their eggs and they'd been hanging on their fingers and they were saying, aren't they lovely? Let's have a few of those as pets. But they forgot one thing. When you feed them, they grow. Amen? And they get to a certain size. Some of them have been flushed down toilets. Others have been put down into lakes and into the sewage system. And they just love it down there. And they were thriving and growing. You see, we have to deal with things when they just are starting out and seem to be fairly insignificant and small. Because if we don't, they can become major things in our lives. And they can really block the wellsprings and cause us to become choked spiritually and in every way. So let's get our hearts right before him today. And guard our hearts above all things. And you will flourish. And you will have tremendous blessing. So much blessing that you won't be able to contain it. Because I believe there are wells of healing here for you today. For your marriage, for your health, for your relationships. For rediscovering what was lost. Because for some of you, I believe you may have lost your joy. You may have lost your peace in the Lord. But we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let's reopen the wells. Let's dig new ones. Amen. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not just a one-off event. It's something that should happen continuously throughout our Christian lives. I had a brother say to me recently, I got baptized in the Spirit 30 years ago. Well, it was a big surprise to me. And I realized he'd never got filled since. And he was really suffering because of it. We need to open our hearts, don't we, to the Lord. And I feel today it would be a good thing to let God do that heart scan. In closing, I would like us to pray And as we pray, we're going to take a moment or two of silence as we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us those people that we might still hold a grudge against. And you might be surprised at who pops up in your mind. You might be surprised, it may be from years ago, it may be from your school days. And for some of us, that's a long time ago. But it's something that we need to do regularly and say, Holy Spirit, just let me check my heart. Check my heart for me. Show me if I'm holding any animosity or unforgiveness towards anyone so that I can deal with that and you can help me. Because if we don't forgive, it's going to hamper every area of our spiritual life and it will affect every relationship that we have. And God wants you to realize your potential and come into every blessing and promise he has for you. And so let's not let anything hinder or take a foothold in our lives. Can we just bow our heads in prayer? Lord, thank you for what you're doing here at Wellspring. Thank you, Lord, that we have a wellspring in our hearts. And we would ask you now, Lord, to come and scan our hearts. Show us people that we may still hold a grudge against, that are still choking our wellspring because we haven't let go. Maybe we've buried it, maybe we've tried to cover it up, but Lord, it's still disturbing our lives and it's hindering our relationship with you, and it's disturbing our peace, maybe disturbing our sleep, and Lord, it's something that we want to deal with today. So Lord, just show us now in this moment of silence. Just reveal the faces, perhaps, or the names of those who, Lord, we still hold a grudge against. Let's just say a prayer together. You can say it out loud, or you can just say it inwardly. But you might like to name the person. You might like to just whisper it, or just do it inwardly. But it's important that we do it. Lord, I release that person, and think of that name, into the power of my forgiveness. I release them. I let them go. Lord, I pray that you will bless their lives. And if they don't know you, Lord, I pray that they will come to you. But Lord, whether they want to be forgiven or not, I unconditionally forgive that person by an act of the will. Help me, Lord, for my emotions to catch up with that. Help me, Lord. It's a process. But Lord, from this moment on, I want forgiveness for that person to flow. And I set them free. I release them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just have a sense there's someone here, you're beating yourself up. You've made some mistakes and the enemy's reminding you of your failures. And you need to forgive yourself. You need to let yourself go. So Father, I forgive myself. Lord, I thank you that you love me with an everlasting love, whether I fail or whether I lose or whether I win. And Father, your love for me doesn't wax or wane. Father, I forgive myself unconditionally and ask you to fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus that covers every sin, that covers everything in my life and makes me new and makes me free. Father, from this moment on, I want to recommit my life to you, and I want you to fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I'm sure today, if anyone would like prayer, Jim is here. Pastor Jim, we will pray with you. If you would like a fresh anointing, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, or maybe you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, there's an opportunity. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus and you would like to ask him into your heart. And that's the best decision that you'll ever make. We made that decision in April the 19th, 1987. God healed our marriage, healed our health, turned our lives around. And I know what he did for us, he can do for you as well. So I don't know if you have something that you can play that is appropriate. But just come forward and we will pray with you if you would like that. Or just put up your hand and we will come to you. Amen.